Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
On previous programs, we have emphasized that our faith as Christians is not a blind faith. God has never expected us to believe in Him, to believe that Jesus is His Son, and to believe the Bible is His Word, regardless of whether it is reasonable or not. Jesus said in John 10, verse 37, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me." You see, Jesus came along and made some incredible claims. And He is saying, if I cannot back up those claims, if I cannot give you the evidence that those claims are true, don't believe me. In verse 38, He says, "But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him." You see, Jesus boiled it all down to the evidence. He is saying, "I have produced the evidence to establish my claims." God does not expect us to believe the claims of Jesus on the basis of blind faith. He has always given us reason to believe. This morning, we are addressing the question, is Jesus the divine Son of God? We want to look at some of the evidence that Jesus has claimed to be the Son of God is the truth. In the New Testament scriptures, we have writings of men who lived and walked with Jesus while He lived here upon this earth. In these writings, there is testimony of Jesus' claim to deity. He claimed to be the Son of God. In Matthew 26, verse 63, we read that the high priest put Jesus under an oath and said, "Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." The high priest understood that Jesus was claiming deity because in verse 65 it says, "Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy.'" And so, yes, Jesus claimed to be the divine Son of God. Now, this claim of Jesus is the most critical issue of our faith as Christians, because if this claim is false, then the whole religion that is based on him and his teachings is false. I suggest to you that we cannot think any more of Jesus Christ than what we think of his claims. If Jesus was not whom he claimed to be, then he was not a good teacher. He was a fraud, a liar. Someone says, "Well, he thought he was the Son of God when he actually was not." Well, if that be the case, he then was a lunatic. You know, someone has said, Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. And that's right. These are the only alternatives. We believe him to be Lord because we believe his claims of deity to be true. Let us look at some of the evidence for the truthfulness of his claim to be the Son of God. One of the primary evidences for the truthfulness of his claim to deity involves his fulfillment of prophecy. There are a great number of minutely detailed prophecies which were given hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Prophecies relating to his birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection. Jesus fulfilled every one of them. Could this be mere coincidence or chance? It is mathematically improbable that all these prophecies could have been fulfilled in the life of one man by sheer chance. The only reasonable explanation is that the prophecies were given by men who were divinely inspired and fulfilled by Jesus, who was sent by God to fulfill his eternal purpose. Consider some of the prophecies. Hundreds of years before his birth, it was prophesied that his birthplace would be Bethlehem Ephrathah, Micah 5, verse 2. Well, this is the Bethlehem of Judea where he was born, Luke 2, verses 4 through 7. It was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet about 700 years before Jesus was born that his mother would be a virgin, Isaiah 7, verse 14. His triumphal entry into Jerusalem is foretold by Zechariah in Zechariah 9, verse 9. "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus fulfilled this, recorded in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9. The dividing of his garments and the casting of lots for his clothing is foretold in Psalm 22, verse 18, and fulfilled at Jesus' crucifixion, recorded in Matthew 27, verse 35. His resurrection was foretold by David in Psalm 16, verse 10. And there are many other prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. It is amazing that centuries before he was born, his life is described in great detail. Ordinarily, a person's biography is written after he has lived, but Jesus' birth, life, and death were written generations before he was born. These prophecies and their fulfillment demonstrate that the coming of Jesus Christ was a part of God's purpose and plan from eternity, and they prove that Jesus' claim to deity is true. Another evidence of the deity of Christ is the miracles which he performed. When you consider the testimony of his miracles, we are forced to conclude, as was Nicodemus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." John 3 and verse 2. Peter said to the Jews in Acts 2 and verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Consider with me some of his miracles. Jesus performed miracles involving elements of nature. He turned water into wine. He stilled a storm on the Sea of Galilee. He walked on the surface of the sea. He also performed miracles of bodily healing. He cleansed lepers of their leprosy. He made a blind man to see, a man who had been born blind. He healed a man who was paralyzed so that he could walk. Jesus once fed 5,000 people by the miraculous multiplication of 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. On at least 3 occasions, Jesus raised people from the dead. Only God can exercise this kind of power. Jesus' miracles prove that he is of God and his claims are true. But someone might say that these are just fanciful tales which were manufactured by fanatics who were intent on convincing people that Jesus was the Son of God. However, when you consider the account of Jesus' miracles, we are led to believe the historical truthfulness of them. Note that his miracles were performed in the cities, when surrounded by lots of people. In other words, they were performed under circumstances which invited investigation. His miracles were not done only in the presence of his disciples, but before those who were his enemies, who would have had reason to try to discredit his miracles. This being the case, it would have been impossible for Jesus and his disciples to perpetuate such a gigantic hoax on this many people for so long a period of time. Consider this quote from Bernard Ramm, and this is quoted by Reubel Shelley. "That Jesus was hated by many of his fellow countrymen is a matter of gospel record. The same is true of the infant church. Yet the inhabitants of Palestine, who had sufficient motive in their hatred and sufficient proximity to the life of Christ, have never written a line in denial of a single miracle." End of quote. All the evidence, therefore, is in favor of the truthfulness of the New Testament accounts of the miracles of Christ. The unbeliever has nothing but his unbelief with which to challenge the record. Another argument for the deity of Christ is his resurrection from the dead. Paul wrote that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans 1 verse 4. If Jesus was raised from the dead, then his claim of deity is true. But did Jesus really rise from the dead? Well, first, we have the testimony of credible witnesses. Peter said, recorded by Luke in Acts 2 and verse 32, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." The apostles were witnesses of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. They saw him after his resurrection. It was not that they saw someone off in a distance that looked like Jesus and then concluded it must have been Jesus and then began to report that Jesus was raised from the dead. No. After his resurrection, the apostles not only saw him, but walked with him, talked with him, ate with him. They saw the print of the nails in his hands. They saw him ascend into heaven. But is their testimony true? You know, the reason men would lie or give false testimony are, number one, for fear. That is, fear of some evil to themselves or others if they tell the truth. And number two, because of avarice. That is, the desire for material gain. In other words, they give false testimony because it's an opportunity to increase in material possessions. And then number three, because of ambition. That is, the desire for some kind of distinction among men. But these are definitely not the reasons why the apostles testified to the resurrection of Christ. As a result of their testimony, they were put into prison and even put to death. They surely did not become rich in material things. They became popular, but only in a negative sense, as criminals. When you consider the subsequent lives of the apostles, it gives evidence to the truthfulness of their testimony. They were cursed, hated, driven out of cities, imprisoned, tortured, and even put to death because of their testimony. And through all of this, none of the apostles ever denied their testimony. Now, would this group of men have been so motivated by a story which they knew to be a lie? The notion of such a possibility is absurd. But men would be willing to die for this testimony if they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was true. Another important consideration is that the claim that Jesus had risen from the dead was first published in the very city where it was purported to have happened, and no one was able to controvert it. You see, the apostles preached a resurrected Christ in the place and at the time when it was fully possible to check every piece of evidence, to interrogate every witness in order to expose their lies. You can be assured there were those there at the time who would have presented the evidence against the testimony of the apostles if that kind of evidence existed. Since that kind of evidence was not presented, the only reasonable conclusion we can come to is that these witnesses had nothing to fear from an investigation of their claim because they were telling the truth. Jesus was raised from the dead. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead proves his claim to be the Son of God. It also proves his claim to be the only way to God the Father, as he stated in John 14, verse 6. Dear listener, why not come to Jesus today and render obedience to his gospel? He truly is Lord. Our time is gone for today, but before we close, I want to announce a special series of meetings that begins today and continues through Wednesday night of this week, September the 18th through the 21st. The Church of Christ in St. James that sponsors this program has invited Craig D. Hutt, a preacher and a professional videographer, to present lessons in which he uses his video work of the land of Israel. The theme of these lessons is From David to Jesus, Searching for the King. In these lessons, Mr. D. Hutt will trace God's promise to give his son Jesus, the descendant of David, a kingdom that would never be destroyed. He will be using portions of Appian Media's video series. Now, we will meet at our regular times today, 9:30 and 10:15 this morning and 5 o'clock this evening, and then Monday through Wednesday at 7 o'clock each evening. That's September the 18th through the 21st. Our building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James. We hope that you'll be able to come and be with us.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.